You know what will keep you warm in the great white north? A little true crime with your host, Megs
and Jess. Good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you? Happy hump day.
I know, right? And it's been a week.
Why isn't it over yet?
Yeah. Well, here in Alberta, we had to lock everything down again. I mean, not,
yes.
When I mean lock everything down, that means my kids are doing schooling online at home. So that's lockdown for me.
That's every parent's favorite thing right now.
So, yeah.
It's okay. Hopefully, how long did they say it's lockdown for?
2 weeks, but I think they're lying to us.
Yeah. I feel like that's coming here too.
I can't see them sending kids back to school for for the last 2 weeks. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh gosh.
So we shall see.
Well, there goes your summer.
We shall see. Hello and welcome to True Crimes in the Great White North. I am your host, Jess, and this is my fabulous partner in crime,
Megs.
This episode contains sensitive matters and is recommended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. As much as we are wannabe amateur detectives and journalists, alas, we are just two prairie girls with a natural curiosity for true crime. We owe a big thank you to the real detectives and journalists who work so hard to gather information for these cases. And to all the families of the victims we have talked about, please know that our hearts and prayers are always with you. Often, me and Megan will say, as we start to research a case, we always start to fall down the rabbit hole. Like, you just can't stop researching and gathering more information. And at times, I do find it even emotional to see a picture of them or pictures of them as kids or with their families. Because at the end of the day, this isn't a movie script and this is someone's life. And this is the reality families are living, and we want to acknowledge that. Today's case is about the disappearance of Marshall Awasa. Marshall was born January 3rd, 1993 in Lethbridge, Alberta. His parents were Perry and Tammy, and he has an older sister, Paige. Marshall and his sister were very close, even growing up. Paige described her brother as quiet and reserved, and a kind and gentle person. Paige said in an interview that for their birthdays, they would always pick an activity to do together. She said Marshall would have picked to order his favorite takeout and to go and see the zoo or go to an animal sanctuary, as he was a huge animal lover. And I shared it on our Instagram page. I've shared quite a few pictures of Marshall and on our Facebook. And, you know, when you look at him and you see a picture of him and you look at his smile and his eyes, you can just tell that's exactly how she described him. Just such a genuine person. So growing up, Marshall played football and rugby. He loved the great outdoors. He loved hiking and camping with family and friends. After high school, he started to get involved in fitness and bodybuilding. Even though Marshall was quiet and reserved, he had no problem making friends. He made many friends through bodybuilding, and he had lifetime childhood friends that he was still close with since elementary school. As he got older, he began working manual labor jobs in Southern Alberta. As you know, Southern Alberta has a lot of work available in labor, such as oil and gas, power lines. And he then enrolled in SAIT, which is Southern Alberta's Institute of Technology. After that, he moved to Calgary. And he was taking the IT program for software development. Marshall's sister Paige eventually moved to Hawaii, but she said their relationship remained close. Paige would come back to Lethbridge for a few weeks every summer, and Marshall went to Hawaii every Christmas to see his sister. She said Marshall participated in all her Christmas must-do traditions, from ugly Christmas sweaters on the beach, and I've actually seen a picture of it. It's really cute. Marshall was close with his mom and his sister, but both Marshall and his sister hadn't been estranged from their father for over 10 years. So on Sunday, November 17, 2019, 26-year-old Marshall spent the day doing laundry and chores in the house he rented in Calgary, Alberta. That evening, he drove his dark blue GMC Sierra 2 hours south to his hometown of Lethbridge. That evening, he spent a few hours at his mom's house. He was helping her with some computer problems, and he left around 11 p.m. His mom, Tammy, wanted him to stay the night and just leave in the morning as any mother would, but Marshall insisted he would be okay, and he wanted to make a quick stop at his storage unit he shared with his sister, Paige, before he headed back to Calgary. The storage locker was located in the north side industrial area between Sharing and Churchill. It was reported that Marshall attempted several times to gain access to his storage locker between 11:30 and 3 a.m., which seems like a very unusual time. I mean, why would he have stayed and keep trying to get in all throughout the night? Even if he didn't want to go all the way back to Calgary, why would he not have gone back to his mom's, just spent the night, and then tried again in the morning? So, I mean, there's some theories on this too. Did he end up sleeping in his truck and then just keep waking up and trying? It's kind of, it is a little bit unusual. Was he alone? There was no CCTV video footage of him at the storage locker because it unfortunately gets deleted every 7 days.
Of course, they're all like that.
Mm-hmm. But so it must have been some sort of combination. It was recorded that the storage locker was finally opened at 6 a.m. and he stayed for 2 hours, and then it wasn't closed again until 8 a.m. However, after that, no one knows what happened. So it wouldn't be until 5 days later, on November 23rd, 2019, that Marshall's truck would be found in a very remote area of Pemberton, BC, over 1,200 kilometers away from Lethbridge. So we're talking about like a 12 to 14 hour drive.
I was going to say, that's not close.
Marshall's GMC Sierra was found burned out and was discovered by a group of hikers in a very densely wooded area at the trailhead to the Bryan Waiting Hut. This hut is about a two-hour hike to where Marshall's truck was found. So it's like a little, kind of like a little hiker's hut. It was built in 1998, and it can sleep up to 40 people, but that's technically that's all it is. It's just a...
But you can still drive up there.
You have to hike.
Oh, you hike in. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So... And it can sleep up to like 40 people a night, and people, you know, hikers will, they just do like I think a money transfer, and they pay about $10 to sleep there for the night. So once the hikers reported the burned out truck, the RCMP attempted to locate it on November 24th, and they actually couldn't find it. So that tells you how remote of a place this was. A second attempt was made on November 24th, and they finally located the truck. It was at this time that Marshall's family was notified that his truck had been found. At the time, Marshall's mom, Tammy, was in Hawaii visiting Marshall's older sister, Paige, when they both got the news. The truck was found at the very end of the trail. It actually couldn't even go up any further. And this was in November, so we all know what the weather is like in November in Canada. BC, the winters are not as harsh as Alberta, but... You know, the elements are still lots of rain and snow. The average temperature is a high of 5, a low of 0, so still very damp and chilly. At the scene, there were several items scattered everywhere.
It's like bolt cutters, like scrapper material, like stuff you'd see scrappers, you know, like wire and bolt, like strippers and razor knives and stuff like that.
The truck was burnt to the frame. The hikers that found the truck did say that the truck was not warm at all. They actually touched it. And for the truck to have been such a big fire and now it's cold, so it tells you that it kind of took place, you know, a few days earlier. Those hikers, in fact, actually photographed the site. They immediately felt like something was off. It was very eerie. They decided to photograph the truck. They took pictures of the scattered belongings. So one of the items that was found was a green hoodie, and that was the same green hoodie Marshall was wearing the night he had seen his mom, Tammy. There was also an expired passport, expired training certificates, nothing of real value, phones that were not being used or broken. And it wouldn't have made sense for Marshall to leave those items there. The initial search of the area was conducted by Vancouver, Whistler, and the Pemberton RCMP. They searched the area for about a week, but no clues were found, and there was nothing that left them to believe that Marshall was ever there. The Pemberton RCMP did another search in May of 2020. However, once again, nothing came out of that search. The family also hired a private investigator who, alongside of the Lethbridge Police Service and Pemberton RCMP, did another search in June of 2020. But nothing came of it as well. These searches included ground search, water search and rescue, drones, a helicopter, canine units. The family also did take a trip up to the site where Marshall's truck was found. His sister Paige said once they got there, the family had a very strong feeling that Marshall was never there to begin with. They said it was such a remote place. They actually mapped everything out, and it was actually really hard to find. And it's just not a place that you would just end up at. It wasn't like some field or just out the outskirts of town. It's a place where you would need actually a vehicle that is meant for like rough terrain. Even his truck wasn't equipped to be taking a drive up there. By the time it actually got up there, it would have been so trashed that it wouldn't have been able to have been driven back down, let alone that it was, you know, set on fire. Originally, the case was being handled by the Pemberton RCMP, but now the Lethbridge Police Service are the lead investigators, as well as the private investigators that the family has hired. One thing to note is that there was a Xbox and a PlayStation found at the truck scene. However, when Marshall's house was searched, his gaming systems were said to be found in his home because he rented a basement suite in Calgary. So whose gaming systems were those? That's a one thing that...
I wonder if he had them in... Were they not in storage?
We'll get to that. There were other items found at the scene, too, that are said not to belong to Marshall. But details of those items have never been disclosed to the public. And I mean, you and I both know after reading about a lot of cases that often happens because the police are trying to protect the integrity of the case and just trying to keep some things private. Mm-hmm. Another strange detail is there are pictures of the truck seen taken by the hikers who originally found the burned out truck. And then again by the RCMP once they located the truck. And it is very apparent in those pictures that items had been moved around and some are now missing. Some were also scattered more around the area, which could be wildlife that, you know, you could pick something up and move it. However, some items were placed into groups, like they were being organized. One pile was like personal items of Marshall's passport, ID, an old cell phone. No animal is going to start to organize items into groups. It is very unusual, and that's something only a human would do, right? Paige said she found it hard to believe that random hikers would stumble upon the scene and disrupt it as well. The police are actually asking if someone did happen to come across the scene and unintentionally disrupt it to please just let them know. You know, maybe somebody did come across it and say, oh, is this somebody's personal belongings, and just kind of maybe looked just for a piece of ID or something. I mean,
yeah, maybe. But I mean, I think seeing a burnt truck would be like, I mean, that's a red flag right there.
Yeah. Well, just like the
original. Maybe one thing if the, yeah, like one thing if the truck was fully, you know, like a normal car, but a burnt truck, like just the frame, that's.
Well, the items, though, were not inside the truck, right? They were scattered outside.
No, I'm saying, but if they even still like saw, mm-hmm. like hikers or someone walked by and saw like a burnt truck, but with things, items scattered, I can't imagine someone like would put them in categories. It seems very odd.
Yeah, it does. It does seem very odd. But
suspicious, that's, anyways.
It is, yeah. I mean, the local RCMP did investigate the truck and have not released what they found. They did eventually say yes, you know, that the truck was burnt due to arson. However, the family at that time did hire their own fire and investigation, and the private investigator concluded that arson was the cause of the fire for Marshall's truck. One other very strange detail about the truck was that the steering column was completely removed from it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's not something that is easy to dismantle at all. Like, you have to make sure you have proper tools to do that. So it seems like to me whoever took the truck up there was determined to make sure that it could never be driven back down the mountain. I mean, another theory is also, too, that you know, a steering column, especially if it has an airbag, people can resell those parts. And there is a market for used parts. The Lethbridge police have said because of where the truck is located, it's not possible to move it now since there's also been a rock slide. So there's no way that they can get a tow truck up there, and the truck still remains up there. Some items of Marshall's that have never been located are Marshall's active cell phone that he was using at the time. It's a Samsung Galaxy S6, his wallet, his Mountain Hardware Scrambler 30 backpack, his school laptop, his glasses or contacts, and his contact solution, like all that stuff together. Those items have never been located. The police did confirm that there was no account activity in his personal bank account after November 17th, 2019, as well as his cell phone. So his cell phone too, a lot of times it was said that he kind of would just do pay as you go. Sometimes he'd run out of minutes and he'd just use Wi-Fi. So, I mean, it's possible that, you know, they said it kind of makes sense with not too much activity on his cell phone, but there's been no activity regardless since then. And Paige has said that Marshall was never big into social media either. So there's been no trace of him on any social media platform. It kind of shows you his personality. He just enjoyed the great outdoors. He was not a big spender. She said he was actually quite frugal at times. So let's talk about some theories on this case.
Yeah, I'm dying to hear them now.
Well, I mean, there's one theory is, did Marshall choose to go missing? Did he, you know, want to go off the grid and start a new life? The Lethbridge police are really pushing this theory. Marshall's sister Paige said once he moved to Calgary, you know, he didn't call as frequently, and he didn't tell his family he had dropped out of school. So he had dropped out of his fall semester. His sister said she did sense that he was, you know, stressed with school, which is not uncommon, really. I mean, post-secondary can be really, really stressful. And it can also be a really stressful time when you're trying to just juggle working and going to school. And so, I mean, I don't see that being a big red flag. I mean, would that cause someone to want to start a new life?
It doesn't seem like it, especially, I mean, who knows? But the interesting thing is the storage locker.
Well, and this theory of him wanting to just start a new life, it kind of reminds me of that movie Into the Wild, which is based on a true story. So, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it.
Or read the book,
yeah. It is about a young man who wanted to give up, you know, everything in society and go start a new life living off the grid in Alaska. The way he did it was by, like, giving away his personal belongings that he didn't need. He hitchhiked his way across to Alaska. And, of course, he had with him survival items and made his way into the deep wilderness. Sadly, he did not survive. Hunters did find him in an abandoned bus with a journal that he had kept. If this was what Marshall was wanting to do, like, why would he scatter his belongings and set fire to his own truck?
Yeah, because Into the Wild is, he had a lot of family issues, because then his sister came out, you know, years later saying this would be all the reasons that he left. But it doesn't seem like, it seems like Marshall was close with his mom and sister to an extent.
Yeah, I mean, but this is one thing, too, is that kind of, you know, rings in a bell for me. Is like, he obviously was someone who cared about his belongings in the first place. That's why he had a storage locker right with his sister. And, I mean, would he then just go and scatter all his belongings and set fire to his truck?
No, it seems like foul play.
And however, he was still close enough with his mom and his sister. He knows that, you know, like he would know how much disappearing like this would affect them, right? I mean, the police made a statement saying that the evidence does not suggest foul play or is criminal in nature. The family's kind of made their own statement saying, like, you know, they're really trying to push this to become a criminal investigation. And the police keep saying, like, no, we don't see any signs of foul play or any evidence. So The other theory is suicide. That also has been another theory that I've seen written about. You know, with Marshall being withdrawn and dropping out of school, did he decide to take his own life up in Pemberton? They actually also asked his sister this too, and his sister said, yeah, that does. Yes, he did seem more distant, and he was never one to overshare his worries or his problems. However, she said it makes no sense that he would have driven all that way up to such a remote place to commit suicide. And if he did do that, why wouldn't they have found him by now? Most people who have committed suicide do it somewhere where they're comfortable with. It's like their own home or somewhere where they can be found. The other theory, of course, is that foul play is involved. His family feels like even if he wanted to go off the grid, he still was close enough with them that he would have been in contact with them by now. It's been, you know, over a year. It's been actually a year and like, 7 months since he disappeared. His sister also said he was not a deep woods backpacker. He loved to camp and go hiking, but not to go off like this. I think the last time that he was at his storage locker, I think something happened there. It's just very odd for him to be trying to get in to his storage locker from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. I mean, who needs to get into their storage locker that bad that you're going to be continuously trying all throughout the night?
He would have also had to have, like, had he been to Pemberton before? Like, how did he know that path? Like, they're all factors like that, too, that don't make sense. Yeah,
there was nothing, no mention of that. It's not like it was, like, you know, he had, was known to camp there or anything like that. And my other question was he alone when he was at the storage locker?
It seems odd because also why would he take off his own steering wheel?
I mean, could he just have gone there to grab something like he had mentioned to his mom and ran into trouble? You know, where the storage locker is located, it's a big industrial area. He did go there pretty late. And there's, you know, in a lot of cities, as well, really any city, there's problems with crime and drugs. His family has been asked if he could have been involved in criminal activity, and they said not that they know of. He, you know, he worked in the oil patch, but he pretty much just, you know, stayed to his close friends that he kept in touch with at the gym and his childhood friends. Could Marshall have just been at the wrong place at the wrong time is a big question. Once the family found out he was missing, they immediately started a Find Marshall Owosa Facebook page. They are just, you know, desperate to gather information. They've also started a petition on change.org. I will post a link on our, like, our Instagram page and our Facebook page. I mean, the big thing is that once that this case can get changed to a criminal case, it changes the investigation completely, like accessing CCT footage.
I thought there wasn't any, though.
Well, at the storage locker, it gets deleted every 7 days. So they didn't get any footage from the storage locker. All that they could find was that he was trying to access it.
Oh.
Right? So there's probably like a code on the door, and it shows how many attempts they tried to get in. And then it showed that he wasn't able to actually get in until 6 a.m. It was opened, and then it was closed at 8 a.m.
Storage lockers, if it's anything like the one I had in L.A., they're creepy. Because the one in L.A., there was a guy living in his storage locker, and I would go in there at random hours, but and the lights go on as you walk. It's very creepy, but he was living in there. So there's a lot of, like, I mean, that's, to me, seems very probable.
So, I mean, and for the truck to be, whoever drove the truck from Lethbridge to Pemberton would have had to gas up at least 2 to 3 times. And so there should be footage at gas stations or somewhere that would have, you know, caught the truck on camera. Of course, my fear is that it's now too late. Because just like with the storage locker, right? If it's either that footage has been deleted or recorded.
I wonder how many ways there are to get to Pemberton from Lethbridge. Because it's like they should do, and then they could determine maybe roughly where you would need to fill up and if anyone remembered seeing him or, you know.
Well, the problem is that the family wants to get the case changed just from a missing persons or to a criminal case. I mean, and it's kind of sad because it's clear that the family and the police are not working together. The family, you know, had to start this petition. As soon as they did, the police made a statement the very next day saying, in short, that this is a missing persons case and it cannot be switched to a criminal case unless there's evidence of criminal activity. I mean, what about circumstantial evidence? The fact that Marshall is, no one's heard from him. He's nowhere to be found. He has not contacted his family. That is not, you know, not like him. Mm-hmm. I do feel for Marshall's family as they essentially are Marshall's voice in all this. They're having to advocate for their, you know, brother, their son. And I feel like the police should be doing a better job of listening to his family and working alongside them. Paige has said there are two things everyone can do. First is to please join the Facebook page, Finding Marshall Awasa. You will be able to see updated activity and any information to the case on that page, as well as to please sign the petition to have this case turned into a criminal case, so that just a full extensive investigation can be done. The family also has set up a GoFundMe page, and I also will share all the links on our social media platforms for that as well. The GoFundMe helps the family with just the cost of hiring a private investigator, which they are paying out of their pocket for right now.
Yeah, that can't be cheap.
Oh, absolutely not. I will post pictures of Marshall, of what he was last seen wearing, his vehicle, on our social media platforms, Instagram, which is at Great White North Crimes, and our Facebook page, True Crimes in the Great White North. As well, if you have any information, please contact the Lethbridge Police. Please share this episode to bring more attention to this case. You know, the bigger the audience, the better. I mean, I strongly feel like someone knows something, as which is the case usually in many cases. So let's help find Marshall Awasa.
Thanks. Hopefully this can shed light on an unsolved case and give the family some peace.
Right? I know. So I already signed the petition. I sent you the link. You said you're going to sign the petition too. So please, if you're listening, please just do me that favor and do that. That concludes this episode. So thank you for listening, everyone.
Thanks for that. It was wonderful. Stay tuned for our next week's episode. Thanks, Jess. Toodles, poodles.
It is out of Marshall's character to go away this long, and especially it is out of his character not to reach out to Paige. And that's why we felt for a very long time that something has happened to Marshall. Marshall is quiet. Marshall is reserved. He is shy. That's not withdrawing. He's shy. And, you know, Marshall just wasn't ready to tell us that he wasn't going to school. That would be a hard thing to do, to tell your family.
There's some barriers when it's not considered criminal. There's barriers to what the police are allowed to access and to look into. There's barriers as far as the historical data that they can gather on my brother to see what was happening prior to his disappearance.